At this time, listen to the most powerful men in Canada as they discuss top tech. This week, storage.
Hey, little Johnny. I heard you want some more storage in here.
Yes.
Have you heard of a little black box called a Drobo?
Johnny bought a Drobo!
Johnny bought a Drobo!
So you're probably getting the impression here that we talk about tech a lot. My name's Ian Horner. With me is Brendan Beach-Deary.
That's me.
And Johnny Blakeborough.
How's it going?
And we like technology. This past weekend, Johnny just bought himself a Drobo. For those that don't know, Drobo is a data robotics device that allows you to shove many, many cheap disks inside of it and put them together into one big disk.
It's a cute little storage robot that's got lights and stuff on the front. It sounds like it's RAID, but it's not RAID. It's something they call Beyond RAID, which is really what is known as thin provisioning, which is a technology term you don't really need to care about because, quite frankly, I don't care about it either.
It might as well all be magic.
Mm-hmm.
It is. That is one of the things about this. There's many different solutions. We recommend, of course, on this show that everyone should investigate their own choices, and we're not actually saying that you should buy one device or another, but this is the device that we talked about.
Until we get a sponsor.
Exactly. Yes. I guess we should talk about the problem before we talk about the solution. Really, people that live the kind of lives we do with quite a lot of technology and quite a lot of files, especially big files like video and large backup files of all their work. And
quite a lot of girlfriends, let's be honest.
And all those images and sound files.
And videos.
And videos. It takes up a lot of storage. And so as our life becomes more and more digital, it becomes more and more frightening to think about what would happen if we lost that. But not only what would happen if, you know, a drive failed or you lost something, being able to access all those files on all your different devices becomes more and more important as you rely more and more on those digital files as opposed to living in, you know, the Stone Ages of having to deal with everything on paper.
So you know what my solution was traditionally?
Live in a cave?
No. Because I needed to have, you know, a lot of things. And how I used to do it was to use recordable CDs. And that's not something that scales very well. Because I had to, this other weekend, go through 9 binders, each one holding 200 CDs, pull all the stuff that I wanted to keep off of those and put them onto my Drobo. And the reason I did this is because I've been moving from house to house, and I've been humping this huge box that is rather heavy by now because of all the CDs and all the binders that are in it.
It's actually, you're not going to even use it because it's just so awkward to get access to.
Exactly. It's because I never look at the stuff that I have on there. I don't know if there's anything that I wanted to watch again, if there's anything that I needed to go through for any reason. So I basically just got to a point where it's like, you know what, it's a lot better to have it all in one place. That was the purpose why I bought my Drobo in the first place. And that's where the Drobo really shines. It essentially is a way of taking multiple hard drives, making it appear like one hard drive, and newer Drobos accomplish an even cooler feat, which is to act as what's called a NAS. The NAS is a network-attached storage device. And what that just means is that you have a big hard drive or a big piece of storage that you plug into your network, and then all the computers in your house now have access to it.
But not just your computers. Obviously, you know, different people in your house can access it, but you can access it on your mobile
personally,
and all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
They can personally access it because, of course, everyone that we know actually has a SCSI interface to them.
Yes.
It just interface to the device. But yeah, the idea of a NAS, you're right, is it's awesome. Not only, it just seems like one hard drive to your computer, and any computer that's on your network and mobile device can just see it as a big bunch of storage.
Mm-hmm.
The thing for me about that really makes the Drobo shine over any of these other, we've been mentioning a NAS or an external hard drive, and you think, well, I can go out to Staples and buy myself a Western Digital, what, 2 terabyte drive. That should be more than enough file storage I need forever. Other storage options and stores are available. But where the Drobo really shines, what makes it different is that you can just stick any old disk that you have, as long as it's a SATA disk, into this Drobo, and it's going to add it. And if one of these drives does fill up, you eject it, and you stick another cheap, huge drive in. and your storage pool just grows.
And of course, I mean, you mean to stick a much bigger, different drive.
Yes. Bigger drive, yeah. New drives. But
the whole idea of a NAS is a huge step up from the basic idea of just having like a USB hard drive. I had a USB hard drive and it wasn't connected to my network at all. So I was, you know, sneaker netting this hard drive between different computers and the PS3 where I was playing content from. So I was doing that. So that was one major problem, is that it wasn't connected to my network, so it wasn't accessible on multiple devices. Two, it wasn't really expandable. I could get another drive and add more stuff to it. I'm just splitting it over multiple devices and have to remember what's on which. And it had no form of backup or security. And a good quality NAS can do all of those things. And the Drobo, as you said, Ian, the benefit to it over other NASes, because a lot of NASes, you can add multiple drives, it's accessible over the network. But the reason that I went with this device, normally with most RAID Stripe, where you split the data over multiple drives, well, they always have to be the same size drives. And often some of them are so picky that they have to even be the same model and make as the other drives, which is, you know, not only expensive, but not very practical. And one of the great things about a device like this that you can put any old drive in, I saved myself a lot of money by just using some drives that I have around. And it's not a ton of storage right now, but it can be expanded as I, you know, decide that, you know what, this isn't enough storage. I want to put some more files up here. I'm just going to go and buy another cheap 2 or 3 terabyte drive and slot it in there. And all of a sudden my storage goes up quite a considerable amount.
It's funny that RAID actually used to stand for Redundant Array of Inexpensive Disks.
Inexpensive, interesting.
That used to be the proper acronym. It's sometime during the late 90s, I believe, when RAID became popular with IT professionals, that I changed from inexpensive to independent.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes. The other thing, though, about the Drobo is not only can you actually add these drives by themselves, we've been dancing around this idea of security. If any one of those drives in that disk pack fails, you're just going to get a flashing red light that says, oh no, I'm unhappy. But you're not going to lose any data. You'll pull out that dead drive, stick in a new fresh one that's working, and it will rebuild itself.
And part of the appeal is Johnny, as you were saying, is that it can be any old disk. If you happen to have a Seagate drive in there at 1 terabyte and that fails and all your rest of your disks are working, you can go buy a Western Digital hard drive from wherever. You could even just take one. If it's in your computer and you're like, well, I'm not using that as storage, you could take that out and shove it in, and it will format that drive and turn it into part of its disk pool. Of course, it wipes everything out in the drive, so we don't recommend people just take drives out of their computer and shove it in the Drobo. But
anytime you're dealing with this kind of stuff with a NAS, always make sure you copy all of the stuff off your drives before you put it in your network attached storage, which is exactly the problem I had. I had this USB drive, as I said, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, a terabyte. And so I actually had 3 drives that I was pretty sure didn't have much on it, and then 2 other drives that I knew had stuff on it that I needed to get off of it. So I actually built my NAS with just the 3 drives that I checked first before I put them in there, that they didn't have anything I needed on them. That built my NAS up. Then I plugged in the USB drive and then slowly transferred it over. Anyway, so I had it at work and I was transferring the files over there, and I've got gigabit Ethernet in my office, and I was getting about 35 megabytes per second write, which is actually quite decent over network for writing to a network attached storage. When you're dealing with, you know, terabytes of data, it seems pretty slow. Taking it home and doing the other hard drive, transferring it over to my computer over the 100 based T network that I have, this cheap router that I have at home, it gets like about 11 megabytes per second, which is, you know, a third the speed. It's actually excruciatingly slow. Mm-hmm. I read, actually, maybe you guys could fill me in on some of this. I actually read a bunch of people complaining about different NASs, and specifically Drobos, about the speed at which they read and write. And a lot of people were suggesting that the speed was much better if he used Samba in order to connect to the drives instead of AFP, which, for those that don't know, AFP is the Apple file protocol they used for mounting network drives on your Mac, whereas Samba is the way that Unix, Linux, and Macintosh connect up to, generally, to Windows shares.
Well, actually, you're leaving out probably the best system for actually getting these systems mounted, and in terms of speed especially, which is NFS.
Yes.
That's the question, then. I think you might have just answered it. So I actually did do a Samba connection to the drives, and it was it was interesting. It actually got slightly faster, but it fluctuated more than the AFP connection. So it actually probably ended up being on average about the same, around 11 megabits per second. So you think I should connect up with NFS?
NFS is a Unix-based networking system.
I know that.
It stands for Network File System, because it's just a dead simple acronym. I run a Linux system at home, so I'm quite familiar with using NFS in a lot of cases for stuff. So far, I've been using Samba in my house to connect between the Macs and everything else, because I wanted something that everything was going to be reading, and I didn't really want to go to the hassle of having to set up NFS, and I'm eventually going to do that. That's interesting, Johnny, because that actually brings me to another thing about the Drobo. You had mentioned that you're plugging it into your network and you're, you know, copying files back and forth between. You've got a gigabit network set up and everything, and so that's how you're getting files back and forth between it. Whereas my Drobo does not have a gigabit Ethernet port. My Drobo has USB and FireWire.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bought, and I believe Ian bought the same, actually Ian bought his first, and I liked it so much I had to have one. We bought the Drobo second gen, which was USB 2, let's be fair, because there is a USB 3 now, and this was a little while ago. This is USB 2, which has a maximum throughput of 450 megabit per second, not byte, but megabit per second, and FireWire...
800.
It is FireWire 800, isn't it?
And so basically this works, you plug it directly into your computer and then use your sharing off of your computer to share it.
If you want to use it.
As opposed to just plugging it directly into the network like the FS one that I have, right?
Exactly. You can use it as a NAS, but it needs a computer attached to it, or the Drobo Share attachment, which...
Not terribly recommended.
No.
It's a great way to expand. I did a lot of research recently because I was like, I was just using it as a piece of attached storage like a USB hard drive. Just attached to my computer to store a lot of things on, a lot of media files and whatnot. And so I get to a point where I'm like, boy, I wish I didn't have to keep running my computer all the time, even though I was in front of my computer all the time. Now I'm at a point where I'm not, because I just bought a new iPad. But I thought, boy, I'd like to have a way to hook this the Drobo up to something else. And Drobo used to sell for the second-gen Drobos a device called the Drobo Share, which Ian mentioned. And that gives you 10/100 base Ethernet, not gigabit Ethernet like Johnny has with his Drobo FS. And the Drobo FS is the newest product, the newest consumer product Drobo makes, because Drobo's been making a lot of products. And he has gigabit Ethernet, but that's the only way you can connect to the Drobo is through the gigabit Ethernet. He can't plug it into his computer using USB.
Yeah. People I've noticed on the forums complaining that you can't get a model that has both in the regular version, which is, it's a little surprising, but I love the flexibility. I was thinking about this when transferring a lot of files, that if I could connect up with FireWire 800 to just do my initial file dump, it would have saved me a ton of time going over. Going over gigabit Ethernet is way slower than FireWire 800. Once you go to FireWire 800, you're only limited by the speed of the actual, how fast the drives can write. Your protocol for transmitting between the two of them is not going to be your limiting factor, whereas over USB sometimes, but definitely over Ethernet, even gigabit Ethernet is going to be the major limiter in how fast it reads and writes.
Well, and I ended up not buying a Drobo Share because I'm cheap. But also, looking for a Drobo Share now is next to impossible. You go on eBay and you might find somebody selling one, and it'll be well used, and they'll want to get rid of it. But they're also charging practically the same price that it cost in the store when it came out, because they are rare as hen's teeth now. They're not something that comes out that often. But the nice thing about the second-gen Drobo as well is because it is a lot cheaper, it also because it has USB or FireWire, if you have a small computer that is just kind of sitting around your house that you're like, well, I'm not using this for anything else, and it is low power, and you just want that to act as your device, your server, your file server, to give access to your Drobo, you can just use that instead. I mean, there are even people who sell plug computers, these, you know, wall warts, you just plug into the wall and it acts as a computer. You can just plug that as USB. In fact, I have a router. I have a Linksys E3000 router, which is a gigabit router, that has a USB port on it. And I should be able to just plug my Drobo directly into that and then serve the Drobo from there. And it would be like having a network-attached system that just basically runs on USB. The only problem is that USB is not a fast protocol compared to FireWire 800 or compared to even to gigabit Ethernet. Those are much better ways. You could also buy a Drobo S, which has, if I remember correctly, it has eSATA. It has external SATA, and that means it runs at the same speed as your internal hard drives.
In addition to USB 3.0.
Yeah. Oh, well.
There's lots of different ways you can store your files so they're accessible on the network, and you don't necessarily have to get a Drobo. You could just get a computer, a PC, and or a Mac, and just throw, well, not a, usually a Mac, but a PC anyway, and throw a bunch of drives in it and turn it into a network share, and that's not actually that difficult to set up.
You're actually talking about a wonderful product called, I believe it's FreeNAS.
Yes. Even though it's relatively simple to set up, and it does have the flexibility of putting in the drives and being able to change the way that you want to have it configured instead of relying on a company, probably more affordable than buying something like pre-built NAS, especially a Drobo.
It's not as stupid easy as putting disks in.
You know, this is a tech show, and we talk about tech stuff, and we're all very tech-savvy people, but I'm not one of those tech people that revels in complexity and the achievement of accomplishing things. I really do appreciate well-engineered, simple to set up, that has all the functions I want. That's why I'm a Mac user, and Beej probably has a little bit more. He probably gets a little bit more satisfaction out of setting things up himself, and that's why he's predominantly a Linux user. But everyone, I think, in tech has that want sometimes to have technology that, you know what, this just works really easy and simply. And almost everything about the way the Drobo was set up was super easy. The only thing I found a little bit annoying was setting up the UPnP plugin. You can, one of the really cool things about the Drobo is you can actually install plugins for it, or they're called Drobo apps. And these are third-party applications that people have developed, and they sit on your Drobo. Since the Drobo has a very simplified Linux operating system running all the NAS stuff on it, it actually can run these little applications to do things like, I think there's a rsync one for syncing your Drobo with another device, and there's an Apache web server, so you can just kind of basically, without even having to have a PC set up to it, you can actually turn your Drobo into an Apache web server or an FTP server. And the one that I was trying to install was, you had mentioned this to me, Beej, and thank you for mentioning it to me. I hate you. I think it's called FUPS, which is a, I can't remember what that stands for, but it's something really obvious.
Drop a marker, Ian. FUPPS, FUPS.
Yeah, FUPS. It turns on a streaming protocol so that devices that can access streamed media will be able to see your Drobo without having to have some sort of media stream.
You don't have to go through a whole thing about, oh, I have to browse through a series of files, and I have to, basically what will happen is it'll expose your Drobo as being a UPnP media device. And it's like, yep. Oh, I understand what that, your PS3 would be like. I know what that is. And it just foomp lists everything very nicely for you that you can choose.
Yeah, there is some issues with it. One, setting it up was a little bit weird as opposed to how easy everything else was in the Drobo. You know, the way that you have to configure it by editing the text file or going to a web-based interface that's kind of kludgy. Set it up, and it's a little bit awkward the way it treats it. And when you get to the PS3, and I might have set it up incorrectly, but it tells you that you need to make one of your partitions. So you partition different – well, not partitions, but you share different sections of your Drobo as different things. So I have one that's a backup share, and so I mount that on my desktop. And it, one of the cool things about this that unfortunately isn't in a lot of other NASs is that it has built-in support for Time Machine. So if you're using OS X on a Macintosh and you wanted to set up automatic backups, it'll work with your Drobo, and you just kind of section a part of the hard drive off for doing backups. So that's one part. And another little small part for installing these Drobo apps, another part that I have for all my media stuff. And it suggests, well, there's no documentation for FUPS, which I found really hard. And going through discussion forums on this was a little bit difficult to find. But eventually I found that you need to name that share media.
Mm.
And then within there, I had a bunch of files, MP4 and AVI files. They were the exact same files that when plugged into my USB attached hard drive that I was talking about before, when I plugged that into my PS3, it would read all those files and play them on my PS3. So I knew that they were in a format. PS3 is very picky about the type of files it plays. I knew it was in a format that would play it. But on my PS3, through the Drobo, I could see it right away. It was great. Turned on my PS3 and it showed up the Drobo share. And then you click on it and it says media. And then you click, and then it brings you to another folder that says media. And then you click on that. Okay, that's kind of odd. Anyway, you click on that, and then it lists all the contents of that drive. It also does something that I find kind of annoying, is that the Apple file system, the HFS Plus, puts a bunch of hidden files. They're like .apple, you know, different
.apple
files.
Level.
Yeah, that are for the file system, so it knows how to, you know, structure your folders and how big they are and all that sort of stuff. That all shows up on your Mac when you're viewing the share. It doesn't show up as files and folders, but when you actually access it through the PS3, it sees all these other files, which is a little annoying, but the deal killer was that you actually clicked on the files and it says this file is unsupported. Mm-hmm. And so I actually did a bunch of research and looked it up, and a lot of people were complaining about it, that it was a PlayStation problem, that this was only happening on NASs and all this sorts of stuff. And I was talking to my wife, actually, and she said, well, you know, on the PS3 hard drive, the folder that you have to do so that the PS3 can see the files is you have to call a folder video and put them in there. And I said, well, that's true, but actually, if you just press like a triangle button on your PS3, you can actually browse unsupported full file system, and click on it, and it works fine, and it plays it. It's just a showing thing. And I said, this isn't a problem with it showing up. It actually shows up no problem, but it won't play it. But, you know, I started thinking about it a bit more, and I was like, you know, let me do that. So I actually put a folder called video at the root level of my media share on the Drobo and threw all the folders in there, and all of a sudden, magically, it starts working.
So not at all a Drobo problem.
Not a Drobo problem, not a PS3 problem. Just, well, I guess it is kind of a PS3 problem, but not a PS3 problem that was actually an unknown problem. I should have actually thought of that. But the one thing that I do find really annoying, so you've got the kind of awkwardness of these extra files in there, and you've got double folders. Those things I can all live with, and obviously not playing, you can't live with that because that's not going to work. But the thing that I think is maybe a deal killer for a non-techie person that's going to be using this is every time you drop a new file in that, you have to recompile the database. So you have to go to a web interface and say, update the database, or the file won't show up on your PS3.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of a deal killer. For like, it's fine for me. I won't mind doing that. But I imagine that my wife, when she's using the PS3 to play videos, she doesn't have to do anything like that right now. She just unplugs the USB hard drive from the PS3, plugs it into her computer, transfers the file over, plugs that into the PS3, and any video that she's got on her computer or downloaded or got from wherever, she can play on the PS3 as long as it's in the correct format. But having to go to a web page and log in and click on update database and wait sometimes a couple of minutes for it to work, she's going to say that's not going to be actually faster than me just transferring it on the hard drive, and I'll just do it the way I know. So I'll have to find a way around that. The way around that might be to set up a separate device to play media other than the PS3.
Oh, and that's another whole other show, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I will not. I think we've probably covered the majority of the important points on this.
Quite frankly, I was going to ask if you guys had any downsides to the Drobo before we wrap it all up here, but really the only downside is that when you're dealing with a Drobo, probably best to stay inside Drobo's world, do things the way they want you to do it, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anything that a Drobo does also, I mean, anything that the way Drobo does its thing, there's not much you need to worry about because, I mean, maybe my setup is kind of proving this. I have a Drobo hooked up to my Linux operating machine, and the Linux server is what's feeding AFP access out to my wife's Mac so she can do Time Machine backup, and it's feeding out Samba connections to my media player. We can watch TV shows and anime and stuff like that. And Drobo has nothing to do with that. My Drobo, all it does is basically hold files and make sure that if anything happens to one of the drives, it alerts me to the fact that something has gone wrong. It's very smart about all that.
Yeah, I think we should just basically state that a NAS is going to be a major improvement over just, you know, hard drives that you're storing your stuff on right now. The big, big benefits to a NAS is being able to store a lot of files because most of the NASs are multiple drives so that you can set them up to host quite a lot of files, and the files are available anywhere on your network without having to have another computer running. But the real benefits to the Drobo above a regular NAS is that it's super easy to set up. The software is very, very simple, and I was able to set it up in half an hour or so, and that's me. You know, our listeners are probably smarter and they probably could do it even quicker. My biggest problem for me was that to not use the software that came with it and then download the newest version and that sort of stuff. But not only is it super easy to set up, it's really slick the way it handles failed drives, and it even has extra security. Like the way it works basically is one of your drives is not going to be used for storage. So say you had three 1 terabyte drives in the Drobo. One of them is going to be of no use. It's actually technically not just that drive that's of no use, but that you basically cut that amount of storage out of your total amount of storage you have. So you're actually working with 2 terabytes for having that extra redundancy of having any one of those 3 drives fail. You can actually set up the Drobo in an even more robust manner so that it will actually use 2 drives. And so say, for instance, you had a 5 drive set up, 2 of them 1 terabyte drives could not be used, or different sizes as well, but we'll just use 1 terabyte for the simplicity of it. 2 of those drives could fail. Any 2 of the drives could fail, and you still have all your data. But that means you only have roughly about 3 terabytes of storage if you had 5 1 terabyte drives. So that's something that most NAS will not provide, that kind of really, really easy to use, pull a drive out right in the middle of it running and everything will still be working, using drives from different manufacturers, as we said, and also using different size drives as well. It'll work great.
Why you need this and why this is important and why you can convince your wife or significant other of any sort to buy this is because this drive provides you with protection from one of the most insidious computer problems there is, which is drive failure.
Drive failure is very, very common, unfortunately.
Well, it's not just common. It's a case of not if your drive is going to fail. It's when your drive is going to fail, and every drive is eventually going to fail. And this provides a way of letting drives fail without having you lose anything. Any of your precious, precious pirated television shows and movies, which is what this is really for, unless you're a photographer or videographer.
Even if you're not a dirty, dirty pirate, you have probably piles and piles of photos. You know, everyone has moved completely off film for photography. All of your photos are stored on a computer somewhere. Can you imagine how awful you would feel if you lost all those photos? You know, your music library, you'd be ticked off that you lost and you have to recompile it and get that back. Those photos, many of them, and videos that you've taken of events and stuff, documents you've written, you may not have any other place that is. And you could go the way that Beej did, which was record them on multiple disks that you never really have access to, and you run out of space on your computer and you think, should I delete this because I've got a backup somewhere? And then the disks can fail as well. And then you have multiple copies of disks. I don't mean hard drive disks. I mean like
not can.
Removable. Optical disks fail. They have a limited lifespan, especially if they're in direct sunlight or any kind of light, actually. Even for those people that aren't dirty, dirty pirates, it is really, really useful to have these accessible on multiple computers so that everyone can access the same data and not have to have it stored on individual computers. And the protection, as you said, Ian, of those drives that are going to fail, to be able to just as soon as it fails, replace it with a new one, and you don't lose any of that precious data. And we should mention, though, this isn't the perfect solution. An actual perfect solution is probably far more geeky than most of our listeners are willing to do, which is to rsync that Drobo with another Drobo or NAS at a different location in case there's a fire.
Yeah. We're asking the question, then, who is this for? Because we're coming at this from 2 different angles. We're from the one angle of the ease of use. We're going on and on about how easy it is to use this, how easy it is to hook it up, how easy it is to administrate it and maintain it in your house. And then on the other side, we're looking at, oh, well, you can do all these really cool geeky things with it in terms of installing Drobo apps to do more things. And there's more Drobo apps than just even what Johnny mentioned. There are like about a couple dozen. So where does that leave you? If you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I have a 1 terabyte hard drive that I copied some movies onto, or that I use as an external backup source, or that, you know, all my iTunes stuff I put onto that. This maybe is right up your alley, but then again, maybe it isn't, because if you're only storing a bit of information, you might not be seeing the utility and saying, well, I better go out and spend $500, $600, $700 on a black box that has a lot of air in it because you haven't even bought your hard drives for it yet. And there might not be utility there for you. But if you are somebody who is downloading, won't even have to say downloading, but if you're somebody who has a lot of digital items, a lot of digital purchases, a lot of digital anything, as Ian mentioned, if you're a photographer, if you're a videographer, you're going to find that you're going to bump up against storage limits on your own computer. If you're the guy who does the USB shuffle, where you've got one big hard drive, one big 1 terabyte or 2 terabyte USB hard drive, and you're pulling that out to plug in the other one into your computer, or you have a USB hub and you have all four of them hanging off that, so you have access to it at all times. Why you haven't jumped to this already is kind of makes me wonder, because this fills in a big hole. You can have all of your data externally accessible, living in one place, and providing you with redundancy. And it's not really a backup. You never look at these. Never look at buying a NAS as, oh, now I'm going to have an excellent backup. What it is a great way of providing a more robust solution to storage. And if you're somebody who's like, I'm storing a lot of things, or you feel like you're getting to a point where you're going to be storing a lot of things, having more robust storage is never a bad thing.
Yeah, that's great. Good show, everyone. I am Johnny Blakeborough.
I'm Ian Horner.
And I'm Brendan Beach-Deary.
And this has been The Most Powerful Men in Canada for Top Tech. And hope you will join us again next week, where we'll be talking about more in technology. Thanks for joining us.
The Most Powerful Men in Canada would love to hear from you. Please contact us by visiting our website at toptech.tiltyhouse.com if you have any comments or if there are any subjects you'd like us to cover in a future show.